Well, can we give them one more hand and just thank them for a great job? Thank you, guys. You did an awesome job. Nice job, guys. Good work. You know, I think every year we make the commitment to simplify next year, to not miss out on the reason for the season, to reflect on joy and peace and hope. And instead, every year we do what just happened in this drama. We crowd in more and more things to make it special, to get the real meaning, to see what we really need. And we end up with schedules that are packed. We end up with lives that are frantic. And we end up missing the real meaning of the season because we packed it so full of other stuff. So we hope that this will be a reminder for you over the next few weeks to focus on the real meaning of Christmas. They always say, don't do animals or children on a stage, or you don't know what's going to happen. And we tried both today, so. Well, good. Well, again, if you are a visitor with us, my name is Chad Hoven. I'm one of the lead pastors here. I'd like to say a special welcome to you. If you're interested in information about the church, in front of you in the pew is a little Connect card. You can fill that out. Drop that in the offering box on your way out. Or if you'd like to meet and greet or have some questions about the church, the third door on your left is a hearth room. There are some volunteers there to greet you after the service as well. Another thing I want to let you know is that we have 7 Christmas Eve services. What's unique about our Christmas Eve services this year is that though they are all 7 identical, they will occur on 3 different days. So if you're interested in celebrating Christmas Eve, you can come on Saturday at 4:30, Sunday at 8:50, 10, and 11:10, or you can come actually on Christmas Eve night, and we're going to have in the afternoon, 2 o'clock, 3:15, and 4:30. Now, these are ticketed events. The tickets are free. It just helps us make sure that we don't have, you know, 1,000 people at one service and 20 at the other. So as you go out today, make sure you grab tickets for each person in your family, or if you're inviting friends, grab tickets for them. And if you don't care, as you're sort of, or you still have some flexibility in your schedule with your family events, right now, we have lots of room at the 4:30 on Saturday and the 2 o'clock on Tuesday. So you want to grab tickets for those. They'll be available out by the fireplace. Lastly, because we do 7 Christmas Eve services, we always cancel the last Sunday service of December. So we do not have services here the last Sunday of December. Gives us an opportunity to bless our volunteers and our staff for all the hard work that goes into these 7 services that go on each year. So anyway, if you're interested in more information about the church, you can check us out at horizoncc.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter, or you can get on our Twitter feed if that's interesting to you as well. Well, every time you do a children's musical, whether you're behind stage or actually watching the stage, there's always some degree of madness that goes on. I mean, I remember we've been married almost 20 years, and I remember when our son was born, I remember saying to my wife, I hope he's the one in the school musical that's sort of not quite doing what's supposed to happen, you know, sort of the slightly distracting one. And I'm telling you, he lived up to all my promises. My wife was embarrassed for years as he was, you know, tying and untying his robe during musicals. And behind the scenes, there's all this sort of craziness that often that the audience doesn't see. In fact, this particular play we did, Away with a Manger, has a special place in my heart because 11 years ago, I was actually in this play, and I actually played the role of the woman in pink that was up here. And that girl in pink is actually my daughter. So it was 11 years ago when I played that part. My daughter was 4 or 5 at the time, and she played a little sheep that came up with little cotton balls around her head and sang back and forth to a little music piece. So for me, it's just a reminder that as time moves on, as family moves on, in the midst of the madness, is there real meaning behind that? And how do you as a parent relate to that? And I think that's something we all ask in life. Is there a melody behind the madness of life? Is there a melody behind the madness of life? I think there's something in all of us that wants meaning and purpose and things to work together. We say things like, I believe everything happens for a reason, right? Because that's what we want. We want a melody behind the madness of circumstances in our life. We say things like, I guess it was meant to be. Because we all hope there's some meant to be-er in the sky who's going to take whatever happens to us, the madness that happens, and it's going to make it meant to be something that has meaning and purpose. If you're single, or if you have a daughter or son who's single, I get to hear all the time, well, I guess you haven't met the right person yet. But there's a meant to be or there's a melody, there's a purpose to life that's going to help you find the person that you really need. You hear people say, well, I want you to know, I don't believe in coincidences. And there it is again. It's that hunger in all of us, that longing in all of us to find a grand scheme, a grand melody, a rhythm in life. And yet many of us find ourselves at Christmas time in the midst of madness. Hurt feelings, difficult family situations, first Christmas without somebody who passed away this year. I was telling Beth a few weeks ago just how totally incompetent I feel as a parent of my son Quinn, who's 4, with his autism and special needs. Like, all the tools, the parenting dad tools that I have in my box don't work. So many times I feel like I'm in that movie Awakenings with Robert De Niro and Robin Williams. Robin Williams has taken these folks in comatose state and they've become awakened and they're starting to operate again. And slowly at the back half of the movie, they're sort of going back into their comatose state and there's nothing he can do about it. Boy, there's so many situations in life when you feel hopeless, you feel powerless, you feel the madness and you say, is there any melody behind the madness of life? And certainly Christmas is the same thing. I mean, you have an edict for taxation. All right. You have a potential divorce. You have shepherds and fields, a trip to Bethlehem, predictions and promises. And you ask yourself, how do all this chaos, all this madness connect together? Is there some rhyme or rhythm to all these difficult circumstances embedded in the Christmas story? We're looking for a song. We're looking for a melody. So I want to talk about two stanzas in the brief time we have this morning. Two stanzas to help us find the melody behind the madness in life. And here it is. It's easier to sing a song that's already been sung than to write a song that's never been sung. It's easier to sing a song that's already been written. Hey, I already know that song. I grew up with that song. It's easier to sing a song that's already been written than to write a song that's never been sung. And I think the difficulty in that second stanza is that many of us are trying to write the song to our life, but we've never heard the rhythm. We've never heard how it goes. And so we hope there's a song. We hope there's a melody. We hope there's some rhythm, some meant to be or making it all work. But we can't find the song. And we want to write it, but we've never heard it. And you certainly see that in the Christmas story. I mean, think about the disconnected events that we're trying to write a song to. Caesar Augustus is in power. He doesn't treat people very well. It's a very difficult, brutal time. There's a decree went out. People are forced to do things they didn't really want to do. People have to get registered. Everyone has to do it. There's a guy named Joseph, and his heart is broken because this Christmas, he might have to divorce his wife because she was unfaithful. There's a little town called Bethlehem. There's a woman named Mary who's feeling ousted because people found out she was pregnant out of wedlock. There's swaddling clothes. There's an inn with there's no room for people in. There's this sort of manger that you feed animals with. How is all this madness connected? It's madness, right? It's totally disconnected. And yet, these seemingly disconnected, maddening, chaotic events, God puts a story to it. And God begins to fill in the details and say, I can take the madness of your life. I can take the disconnected, potential, painful situations in your life, and I can write a story around it. And I can use these events, and I will put a melody to it. In fact, I'll even put notes. Look at the words in the song, the notes that God's going to put in place. What look like disconnected events, we see a melody maker behind the scene putting things together. He says things like, it came to pass in those days. God says, it was specific days I put this in place. What seemed like this is the wrong time, wrong place. God, where are you at? God says, no, this was the time I was waiting for. And it was in those days that it wasn't just a little city called Bethlehem. It was the city of David. And the reason the city of David was important is because I said I would send the final forgiver and the final fixer from the city of David, from the descendants of David, to have a child born in Bethlehem. And all of a sudden, what seemed like madness, a melody is formed. So it was that while they were there, with no room, it was there in Bethlehem, as was predicted hundreds of years earlier, that God brings the melody. As it was there that the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she's thinking, why do I have to give birth in Bethlehem? Why can't I be home in my own bed? Why do I have to be in a manger? And God said, it looks like madness, but I am the great melody maker, and I can put a story and music to what you have going on in your life. Isn't that what we all want? A melody and a rhythm and a song to put together the madness around us? To have a meaning behind the songs of our life? I mean, I don't know if you grew up singing Christmas carols. We did. Often we would take a group from the youth group and we'd go to people's houses and sing Christmas carols. And I remember singing these Christmas carols and like had no idea what they were really about. Oh, not Away in a Manger. I'm talking about like Good King Wenceslas. You remember singing this thing? What in the world am I singing about? I have no idea who this guy was. Why does he have to do with Christmas? Right? And oftentimes, that's the kind of madness. You get around a song, you get around your life, and you say, what in the world does this have to do with anything, right? In fact, I came across a video recently that gives you the story behind King Wenceslas. It turns out that the song is really totally disconnected to reality. Let's watch for a second. I'll explain the real story.
Wenceslas was not like the carol you sing. Didn't help peasants, that's wrong. Was a duke, not a king. He didn't collect firewood, nor trudge through the cold snow. Though that story is quite good, the truth we think you should know. Born in 907 A.D., came from Bohemia and spread Christianity to people near and far. But what happened to the Duke? Not nice to discover. This next bit may make you puke, murdered by his brother.
So the true story is that when he was 12 years old, his father died. He was a duke in Bohemia near Czechoslovakia. His father passed away. His father was a follower of Christ. His mother was not. She was a pretty devout atheist and hated everything to do with faith. So when his dad died at 12 years old, his grandmother, Wenceslas' grandmother, began to smuggle in priests to teach him how to read. Because even in those days, royalty in that country didn't even know how to read and write. And taught him not only how to read and write, but told him the story and the message of Christmas. Told him the message of story about a God who forgives and leads and brings meaning into life. And for a 12-year-old who lost his father, he needed to know that there was a melody behind the reasons of life. Mom found out that Grandma was teaching him about the message of faith and the message of the Bible, and so Mom killed off Grandma. He ran into hiding for many, many years. At age 18, he found himself coming to age and coming back into the kingdom. And despite all the chaos, despite all the difficulty and all the death and all the pain in his life, he believed and found that there was a God who could bring a melody to the chaos of life. He set up a set of rule of law for the first time. Instead of having a tyrannical government, they had a rule of law going through the system. He set up an educational system that spread through the entire country so people could learn to read and write and learn the message of the scriptures, that there was a God who forgives you, a God who loves you, and a God who could put a melody to the madness of life. Now, ultimately, as the song said, his brother killed him, but not until after he put a mechanism in place that many could learn what he had learned. That even in the madness of life, there's someone you can trust. When you come to the Christmas story, you see a lot of tragedy. Here's Herod killing off children. You say, what in the world does this have to do with Christmas? But it's not about that. It's about how God works in the midst of difficulty and shame and tragedy and says, I can work in the midst of this to bring melody to your madness. And like for many of us, we are trying to write a song that's never been sung. And so we say, well, how am I going to know that? How can I write the song, the rhythm of my life, if I don't know it? And you say, you can't, but you can trust the melody maker to write the song that you're trying to sing. However, the second part of the Christmas story is that it's easy to sing a song that's already been sung, right? When somebody sings something and they give you the tune and they give you the words, you go, oh, I can sing it now. And that's what you find in the next part of the verse. It's easier to sing a song that's already been written. And so now, shepherds are out in the fields. But this word now is very important. They were out there at a very specific time. It was during the Feast of Tabernacle. The Jewish Feast of Tabernacle was a celebration of God coming to tabernacle among us. It was a festival known for celebration. You were to rejoice like a giant birthday party. That was the now that the shepherds were out in the fields. And God doesn't just fill in the details. He actually sings the song for them. Now the shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of God shone all around them. And they were greatly afraid. But the angel said to them, I got a song to sing. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I've got a song to sing, and this song will carry you through your life. It is a good tidings, great joy kind of song to all people. Go back one. It will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is what God's been about. You've heard about it in the past. The predictions were made. The someday this might happen. One day this might happen. This is the day. This is the time. The Savior, the Christ, the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. And what are they doing? They're singing the song. They're praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Goodwill toward men. Shepherds, you wonder, you're trying to write the song in your life. Let me give you the song. Glory to God in the highest. For He is going to bring peace and goodwill right now, right here in Bethlehem with the manger. That's the song. And you get to be part of the story. And you get to be part of the song. And you can be notes in His great orchestra. You can be notes in His great opus. And now that they've heard the song, they guess, well, that was nice. That song, that God can bring a melody to your madness, begins to resonate in their hearts. And it so resonates in their hearts, they say to themselves, we can't keep this song to ourselves. We got to tell other people that there is a great melody maker in the sky who can take whatever madness you have in your life and turn it into a rhythm. So next slide, here's what happens. So they go and sing the song. The song that the angels sang becomes the song that they sing. So it was. That when the angels had gone away from them and unto heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, just as the song had said. And when they had seen him, what did they do? They started to sing the song to others. They couldn't keep the song to themselves. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned. And look what they're doing. They're singing. They're glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. They had heard that God had a song that He has been putting together for centuries. And it was building to the chorus. And they got to be part of the chorus. And this is the song you can sing this Christmas. I don't know about the madness in your life. I don't know about the difficult notes and the sour notes that have been handed to you. But what I'm telling you is all through history, God has been able to take sour, terrible notes and put a melody to them to bring good out of evil. There is a great songwriter and melody maker who has a track record worth trusting. And if you will trust His track record, if you will trust Him and sing the song out of your heart, God, I'm going to trust that you have a melody, even though I can't see it. I'm going to trust that you can put a rhythm to the madness of my life, even though I can't imagine what it would sound like. If you will do that, you will begin to find the peace and the joy in the midst of your madness, in the midst of your difficulty. Now, the Christmas carol that comes to mind for that is, Oh Christmas Tree. I never remember the words. The kids always make fun of me because I just sing, Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree. But the story behind that carol tells us about the real meaning of Christmas. So let's again go listen to our carolers about what the song doesn't mean, and then I'll tell you what it does. Let's watch.
Came from Germany, an ancient German tradition. Was there so? German bank in her. The palace for its Christmas bar. Oh, Christmas tree, then only know my royalty. 'Twas not to Queen Victoria that you became so popular. She gave Christmas a notice when under the tree she would get. Oh, Christmas tree, now I know your true history.
You know, there's often stories about how Martin Luther, the founder of sort of modern expression of Christianity, had trees and put lights in it, and that's why we do it. But actually, you have to go back farther than that, farther than Germany, to the 11th century. In the 11th century in Europe, there were mystery plays that were performed all the time. And one of these mystery plays was known as the Paradise Play. It was very simple. The very center of the play was a big fir tree decorated with apples. And people would gather from Europe in the 11th century to see this play about a tree that was had ornaments on it. And in this particular mystery play called the Play of Paradise, a man and a woman would come up to the tree representing Adam and Eve. And that play would describe a time when life had no pain and had no agony and life was good. And how they came to the tree and they plucked something off the tree which brought rebellion and pain and shame into life. And as that play built to its crescendo, and they felt the darkness and the pain and the devastation of what they had done, the play culminated with the hope that one day one would come who would fix what was broken. One day a perfect gift would come under that fir tree, and that gift would bring us life and joy and peace and hope, and better than that, be able to restore all that was broken, just as God had predicted back in the book of Genesis. Well, that was at the 11th century, the story behind the story. But then the madness began to come in. People began to change the plays and add immoral behavior and all kinds of other stuff. So the church forbid the mystery plays, the Paradise Play, around the 15th century. But everybody liked the tradition of the gifts and the tree. So in Eastern Europe, there was a feast of Adam and Eve on December 24th. So they decide in Eastern Europe to keep the trees and the gifts to celebrate what the Paradise Play had been originally about, which is the message of Christmas. That there once was a world that was good. That we in our own rebellion and self-centeredness messed it up by choosing our own way. And it wasn't just what Adam and Eve did. I regularly choose to do my own thing and mess up what's good in my life. And yet God loved us enough to bring the gift of restoration and forgiveness for what we did wrong. And he loved us enough to lead us in a way to be restored again. And to know that in the midst of the difficulty we find ourselves, right now, this Christmas, this year, God doesn't want you to ask, is there a melody behind the madness? He says, look what I did in history. There is a melody behind the madness. There is a melody maker behind the madness. And therefore, the takeaway for you and me is this. If you can trust the songwriter, then you can sing the song. You may not know the song for your life right now. You not fully understand why something's happening in your life. But if you trust the songwriter based on his historic record, you, like the shepherds, can sing a song and say, God, I'm going to trust you to make a melody out of this madness. God, I'm going to trust you to use this circumstances in my life. That is a great passage in the book of Ephesians that describes this very thing. It says, in him, in Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance, a gift from God at Christmas. We have been predestined according to the purpose of him. God has a purpose for us. And what's that purpose? That he can work all things according to the counsel of his will. What kind of things? All things. Maddening things, hurtful things, shameful things, difficult things, future things, past things, present things, all things. And this promise can be for you this Christmas. It might be your gift. I'm going to trust the songwriter to bring a melody to the madness of my life. In fact, I want to invite the band to come up. And I want to give you a chance to maybe respond to God in that way this Christmas season. So just in your own heart, say, God, I need that song. I can't sing the song. I don't recognize the song, but I need it. What I'd like is not to have bad stuff happen. All right, that's what I'd like. What I'd like is not to have any madness in my life. But God, I got it. So will you give me the confidence that you can bring a melody to the madness in my life? If you want that promise, you can pray with me for whatever the madness is that's going on, whatever relational conflict you have, whatever big decision you have, whatever thing came out of left field and hit you upside the head in the last month or the last year. You can pray these words back to God in your own words. Let's bow our heads together. Say, God, I got some madness in my life right now. And I'm having trouble seeing any purpose in it. God, I need a songwriter. God, I want a melody maker. God, this Christmas, I'm reaching out to you. Put that song in my heart. I believe you work through difficult circumstances to bring Jesus to earth. I trust that he died on that cross through difficult circumstances to bring peace to me. And I accept you into my life. More than that, I'm going to trust you with my life to work all things together for good. Father, thank you in that little town of Bethlehem where a man and his wife had been shunned by many, found themselves feeling empty and lonely and feeling like they were totally out of your will. Yet 2,000 years later, we speak about this at the time that they were in the very center of your plan, the very center of your will, in a little town called Bethlehem. Well, Merry Christmas. Can we thank them for leading us this morning? Hey, as you go out, I just want to mention two things. One, if you came prepared to give, there's some offering boxes out in the foyer. But two, one of the sheriffs came up and just want to let us all know that the ice and the snow has been coming down. So on your way out, be careful. Our facilities team is going to take care of, salting things to make sure it's all safe. But it is snowing a lot more. The police want to let us know. So be very careful on your way out. Have a merry, merry Christmas. Thanks for celebrating with us. Thanks again.